We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. Amen. We're going to pray tonight. We're going to read, first of all, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, and then Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. We're going to be focusing on thanking God for the revelation that he's giving unto our apostle, and then that we would be strengthened in our inner man to receive the revelation. Amen? Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 1. Online students, we're going to be praying. We're reading Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Ready? Let's read. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ready, let's read. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Let's stand and pray. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, asking, Lord God, to be strengthened in our inner man, to receive the revelation, Father, that you're given to us through our man of God, our apostle, Lord God. Now, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we ask you to help us. Help us to pray. Insight, Lord. Spiritual insight. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for the man of God. Thank you for the revelation, Father, that you're given to him for us, Lord God. Praying to receive, Lord. Strengthen us in our inner man. Alalala mahalala kanada makishandi. Alalala mahalala kanada mahi here. Amamababa bandere bedehe. Alalala mahalala kanada mahi here. Yede de 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 de. Alalala mahalala kanada mahi here. Mamo narabaka shandada bakahaya. Alalala mahalala kanada mahiya mohusandada bakaha. Amabababa bandere bedehe. Mama Baba Bandere Bede, we thank you. Hallelujah. Alalala Mahaya, you're here. Yes, we receive. Glory to God, we receive. Alalala Mahia. Alalala Mahia, we receive, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you. Alalala Mahashandara Bakaha. Alalala Mahala Lakandara Mahia, they may send it every day. Yea, de 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 Alalala Mahashaha. Alalala Makinda de Begini. Alalala Mahaha. Alalala mande de begende. Alalala manende de begende. Alalala mahalala kandala mayara mohosaya. Ede de 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 de. Alalala mahashaha. Alalala mahalala kandala makihia. Ede de de de. Ede de de de. Ede de de de. Alalala mahashandala bakaya yehia. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. We have prayed. I do encourage you to look at your notes from Apostle's teaching tonight. Watch the MP3, the video archive, whatever you can. He said a whole lot more than we heard. Amen. And I believe if we take heed to what he taught us tonight on prayer, that our prayer lives will be enhanced tremendously. Amen. 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 Glory to God. I was sitting there and I just wanted to almost fall on the floor because what he was teaching is part of our lesson tonight. But, you know, our author, he talks a whole lot about perseverance, you know, and what we learn is that it doesn't take God all that long. Amen. And I believe some of the answers that we've been seeking, you know, they're going to be speeded up a little bit there. Amen. Hallelujah. Things that we've been praying about, things that we've been believing God for. Now that we know how to pray, amen, from the courtroom and not from the battlefield. That's what he said. Hallelujah. But I think it's just, you know, just our upbringing and our teaching. You know, we just believe that it took God a long time. You know, if he, let me see, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. And remember now, don't forget, don't throw out what you've learned about the soul. Right. You know, it's in there. It is in there, and your soul is important. And what happens, you know, when you start believing God for something to happen, immediately that soul is going to say, he may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. You know, it's in there. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. So we are just so thankful for our man of God, our apostle, and all the instructors here. We're still on chapter 5, how to develop a constant prayer life. We've looked at commitment, how important that is. We looked at discipline, how we've got to bring our body under subjection because the body does not want to pray. Amen. It wants to do everything else but pray. I think last session we looked at the three enemies that every believer has. He says there are three great enemies of every believer: pride, fear, and lack of perseverance. We looked at Luke 18:1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we left off with Jesus emphasizing two very important points in this scripture. One of them is that prayer is a necessity. Remember, we need to pray because we have to have communion with God. We're called to do it. God wants to establish his will on earth and to change the will of men. Remember that prayer also helps us from falling into temptation. And then the other thing in this scripture was pray without ceasing and don't lose heart. Amen. Now, we want to look at that in context of what we learned tonight. Amen. But, you know, pray without. We have to pray. That's just a given fact. Men have to pray. We have to have their communion with God. The word lose heart means to fail wholeheartedly, to lose your courage, and to want to give up. And then our author talks about what else did Jesus say concerning perseverance in prayer. And he gave us Matthew 7:7, and he says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. And then he goes into a discussion of what's the meaning of ask, and what's the meaning of seek, and what's the meaning of knock. He says in the Greek, the word for ask means to beg, to petition, or supplication. That's what our author says. Amen. The author says to beg. I mean, amen. Amen. We all have spirits here. Oh, everybody got a spirit. We don't have to beg God for nothing. Amen. Everything has been provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I found out tonight that I am a king and I can decree something. Amen. Amen. And as the high priest, I can intercede. That was good. That was just so good. Amen. But this is what our author says. And so I'm just, you know, saying what he said, but also reminding you of what our apostle taught us tonight. Amen. The author also says that the word seek means it implies to seek God with intensity. This is no longer a petition or a supplication, whether it's an intense and diligent search. It is to search for something until it is found. That's what he means by seek. And then knock is also translated as knocking at the door until it falls. I think I mentioned that to you last week. Until it falls. This word implies an intense search until, there's that word, until there's a breakthrough. Amen. He says this type of search has no limitations. When we go into this phase of prayer, it is no longer a calling, but a groaning, a moaning, a wailing, which will give birth to something in the spirit. We must pray until there is a breakthrough or until it is unlocked. How is that? Amen? Amen. Because we got the keys, right? We got the keys to unlock. Then the author gives us a scripture. Galatians 4:19. My little children, for whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now, this is a scripture that we pray here at Word of Life Christian Center when an individual answers the altar call and they come up and then they go to the back, whether it's for salvation, whether it's for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, rededication, or to become a member. We lift these people up. It is not all the time that we know their names. You know, once we were given the names, then we would read off the names and we would pray for them. The author says that this verse implies we cannot let the new believers go until a change occurs in them. And one of the things that I began to realize, I have a project right now where I have to go back and begin to pray this scripture for someone that I led to Christ. And what happened, this individual, they're born again. You know, they prayed the prayer. They wanted to pray the prayer. They received Jesus. But they started looking at people. They started looking at church people. And they said, well, if so-and-so could go to heaven like that, then I don't want to be at that church, or I don't want to be at this church. And this person has never gone all the way, okay? So I found myself now having to go back and begin to lift them up according to this scripture. You know, asking God. There are three scriptures that we pray. This is one. The other one is Matthew 5:6. This is the one that they would have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and that God would fill them. And then the other one is Romans 5:5, that the love of God would be shed abroad in their hearts and that they would walk in love. So what I'm doing with this individual now, as I'm praying for those people who've come to the altar, I'm also lifting this person up, praying that Christ would be formed in them, that they would have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, and that they will begin to walk in love. And then I had to throw in that they would be obedient to the Word of God, because there are some things in the Word of God that God has said that we should do. that this individual has not done. And so, you know, I just want you to know that when you lead an individual to Christ, don't just leave them. Amen. Because a lot of times we think that's it. You know, I've led them to Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But those, and especially after tonight, you know, we found out that when we lead them, there's an enemy who's going to be there constantly telling them, well, they used to say in olden days, you ain't got nothing. You know, you're not born again. You're not saved. You didn't do it this way. You didn't say it that way. You know what I'm saying? So we have to continually lift those people up. When you pray for someone, don't just pray for them to get born again and then leave them, think that's the end of it. It is not. You pray for them until you begin to see them like a baby. You know, like how we take care of a baby. The baby can't do nothing when it's a baby. But then as that child begins to grow and become a toddler, then they become a little bit more independent. And then we begin to see that they can do some things for themselves. When you begin to see that they can do some things for themselves when it comes to the things of God, then it's okay, you know, to back off. But until then, you continue to lift them up. Continue to pray for them. And this is a good scripture to begin with. My little children, for whom I travail in birth again until Christ. We want Christ to be formed in them. Amen? Amen. Then the author talks about, what does the word until mean? He says, it means a period of time or space. It could be long or it could be short in duration. In the Greek, the until means to be attached to a purpose and not to give up. That's until. That's what they were referring to. We need to have purpose when we pray, and we should do it until victory is achieved. Amen. Until victory is achieved. And then he gives us all these examples about individuals who didn't give up. These are individuals who persevered. He talks about Edison, and he says, you know, he did 1,800 experiments before he succeeded. And he gave us Einstein, and he gave us Abraham. I didn't know Abraham Lincoln ran for president before he actually won. You know, he's like, he said he ran seven times before he won. And then he said the Jericho Wall, remember? They didn't walk around one time. They did it seven times. And then Naaman, remember, he's the one who had to go and dip seven times. And then he was healed of leprosy. Then he goes on and he talks about perseverance and consistency implies never give up, to refuse to lose heart, and to remain in one place regardless of the opposition. This is our author in perseverance. Amen? Persistence, when you begin to look at, I think it's Luke 11:5-13. That's the one where he talks about the friend comes at midnight. Yeah. Say, I got some company. please get up and give me some bread. And, you know, and he talks about not wanting to do it. Am I right? Let's look at it. Okay, Luke 11:5-13. Okay, and it reads, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he's his friend, he's not going to do it because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, talking about perseverance, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knock, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Will he? No. Or if he ask fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? No. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. And we see here he's talking more than about just the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father give good gifts unto us? Amen. And then, we're not going to look at the parable of the persistent widow because our apostle already did that over in Luke 18, 1, verses 1 through 1 through 8. Sometimes when we pray for something for a long period of time, the author says the burden begins to feel heavier than usual, perhaps even get worse. He says this is a sure sign that the miracle is near. Isn't that something? Isn't that just like God? You know, when you think that, you know, everything is getting worse, God is working on changing something, working on something, you know, getting better, just like him. Amen. A decision that is not accompanied by discipline will never work. Remember, we talked about discipline. We must submit our flesh and to discipline ourselves in prayer. These are the things that we must do in prayer. The author says, how do we know when we have a breakthrough? You know, how do you know? How can you tell? Now, he's talking about breakthrough. Let's see. I want to liken that to apostles saying, how you know when the gavel has been? How you know when you got your verdict? Amen. How do you know? In prayer. You're praying in the spirit. So how do you know you have a breakthrough? And then he starts giving us some examples. He says, sometimes when you're praying, you will begin to have a new song in the spirit. How many people have ever experienced that? Amen. Amen. You just start singing, and it's not a song that you've ever heard before. You know, we think of it as making up something. But that's a sign that you got a breakthrough in prayer. When you're praying, and then all of a sudden, you know, you start humming a little something. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I had one night. I can't sing, no. But amen, I can't sing in front of y'all. I can sing at home. And then other times you're praying, and then all of a sudden you just start smiling. You just start smiling or laughing, or laughing. Amen. He says these are indications that you have a breakthrough. And then sometimes there'll be like an inner peace. Now, I've experienced that. I mean, it's just, and with that peace comes a knowing. Something just on the inside, you just know. And, you know, I like to share with people, I found out that when peace comes, wisdom comes, and boldness comes. You know exactly what to do. You're not going to consult with nobody. For some reason, you just don't consult with nobody. Right. You know, this is what I need to do, and I'm going to do it, and I'm not going to let nobody stop me. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It's just an inner peace. It's a knowing on the inside. And then the fourth one he gives us, he says, this is how you can have an indication that you have a breakthrough, that there is an inner witness. Amen. Sometimes it's a still small voice. And again, just sometimes it's just that peaceful feeling on the inside. And then he goes on, he says, these are obstacles that will stand in the way of a breakthrough. One, not seeing any change in the people, things, or situations for which we are praying. You know, if we don't see anything changing, we're just creatures of wanting to, because we're in this physical world, we want to see something. We want to see it in the physical. Sometimes you're not going to see nothing all the time. Amen. Just because you don't see a change in the people or in the thing or the situation for which you were praying, it doesn't mean that your prayer is not working. Amen. It's working. You have to believe that. And, you know, and now that we're going to be getting our verdict before we pray anyway, you know, that's, see how that can help you? See how that can, how that can help you? I mean, you're going into prayer knowing that it's already done. Amen. And all you, now I like that. I mean, I just can't get past the part about the decreeing myself. I'm sorry. Because I was sitting there and I was thinking, do you remember that that's what David did?
Yes.
And Goliath?
David
running towards Goliath told Goliath what he was going to do. This day, I'm going to cut your head off and I'm going to feed it to the fowls of the air. Y'all remember that? And then David proceeded to do exactly what he said he was going to do. I believe that sometimes for some of us, we're not saying enough. We're not decreeing enough. You know, sometimes we've gotten a word from God. I've gotten a word from God. I can only speak for me. I've gotten a word from God. And I'm praying. And I'm praying. But I'm not saying. You know, I'm not saying nothing about what's going to happen that I have heard from God, seen in the Word of God. We're going to have to start decreeing some things. You know, especially after tonight. Again, listen to it again. Listen to it again. Go over it again. Amen. Amen. Now, don't go out there decreeing and you don't know what you're decreeing and you don't know what you're talking about. Make sure. Look, make sure. Make sure. Because, you know, as he was talking about, you know, the battleground, things that you use on the battleground don't work in the courtroom, and things that you use in the courtroom don't work on the battleground. Can you see us going on a battleground saying, Your Honor, you know, trying to argue? No, you don't do that on a battleground. You cannot do that on the battleground. We have to be prepared. Amen? Be prepared when you go out there. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Another obstacle, he says, when the outcome of our prayer is not in line with the time invested. And this is what we know. This is what we know. I've been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and I haven't seen any results. I've been praying and praying and praying, and I haven't seen any results. This is an obstacle to your breakthrough. So you got to stop thinking like that. But I think we're going to all get to that point. We're going to all get to that point when we pray, we're going to know that we have it. Amen. That it's already done. And so we won't have this as an obstacle. It won't be looking at how long we've been praying and nothing has happened, because we're going to pray and things are going to begin to happen. Right. Amen. The other thing, another obstacle, he says, the false reports of well-intentioned word of advice from the brothers or sisters in the faith will sometimes become words of discouragement. Amen. Now, don't be so hard on them. You know, they don't understand. They don't know. And that's why sometimes it's better for you to just keep your mouth closed. You know, you believe in God. You got the word. You done got your verdict. And this thing is going to be between you and God. You don't have to share it with anybody. Just let it be between you and God, because they have the best of intentions. I really believe that 90% of the people have the best of intentions. Very, very few people are that malicious, you know, just to say things to you to discourage you. Very few, not many, especially Christians. You know, they're gonna always try to encourage you and build you up, and they don't understand that the enemy is sometimes using them. You know, they'll say something and that'll discourage you, but that's not their intention. Amen. And then the other one is distractions. Now we've talked a little bit about distractions in prayer. Anything, everything can distract you from praying. But again, this is an obstacle. This is an obstacle to you receiving your breakthrough, and you want to be mindful of that. Amen. Amen. Be on guard. Be on guard. Be on guard. There was one other example I wanted to share with you. Going back to my project and how you know, this person is saying, well, not saying so much as looking at other people, and saying things like, well. If they can go to heaven, you know, doing what they're doing, then I can in the condition I'm in. Years ago, I took a class under Apostle. Believe it or not, Apostle was teaching foundational classes back then, and this was at the old church, and. He was teaching on, I don't really remember the overall topic, but the whole subject of death and dying, okay? And at that time, I want y'all to know I was afraid. I didn't want to talk no dying. I didn't want to play no dying. Don't tell me no joke about dying. just didn't want to hear anything about dying and death. First of all, I found out from the class, and the title of the class was Finding the Rock. And he began to explain to us, and this is going to be good for you, and I'm sharing it so that you can share it with others. He said there is death physical, there is death spiritual, and then there is the second death. What the enemy has done, he has had us so focused on physical death that so often people don't understand the need to be born again, that spiritual death, that you are spiritually dead and you need to be born again. Because if they don't get born again, then they got to go through the second death. They got to die again. And in that class, he began to explain that the only thing that happens at physical death is the separation of the spirit and the body. That's all that happens. And I want you to know I got set free in that class from the fear. From the fear of death, I no longer feared it. Now I had to be careful because I didn't want to have faith for dying either, though. You know, I wanted to stay here, but I began to understand it. And so, when you're ministering to people, and they're talking about, you know, well, if so, you know, if I die, I'm a good person, and you know, and all. No, you can explain this to them. Well, you know, there's physical death, and there's spiritual death, and then there's the second death. And, you know, the main thing is that you do not want to leave this world spiritually dead, because you are going to go to hell. It is real. You want to be born again. Amen. You want to receive the nature and the ability of God. And just explain that to them. And explain, you know, when someone, you know, passes, they're not here. You know, the spirit is gone. What we see here is just the house that they used to live in. And we all say that now. But, you know, we can just explain that to them so that they can understand it. Amen? But then the main thing is that second death. You know, we don't have to worry about that. Praise the Lord. You know, we as Christians, we will never die again. But to those people who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, these people will have to face the second death. Amen? Amen. Amen. So just keep that in mind. And I'm talking a lot about ministering to others. And I'm talking a lot about getting people born again. Don't ask me why. I have no idea. Amen? Amen. But that's just the way I'm led tonight. I think we're gonna be doing more of that. You know, and don't be afraid about what to say. He's gonna give it to you. Amen. He's gonna tell you exactly what to say. You know, when I was born again, the only scripture I knew was John 3:16. That's the only one. And you know, I have to chuckle sometimes when I go back to that. Because back then, you know, my grandmother was the one who actually led me to Christ. And she sent me back a couple times. You know what I'm saying? Well, some of y'all might know by sending you back. They would send you back. You ain't got nothing, you know. But I understand now that it was so important for them, for you to know that you were born again. You know, you had to know that, you know, for yourself. But all I could say, based on what I was hearing on the inside of me, is I believe. And I was just shocked when Grandma said, "Let's go tell the preacher." I mean, I just knew she was going to send me back. I was saying, "Let's go tell the preacher," you know. So that meant there was a nod from her that it was okay. It was okay. I said, "Oh, all right." But that's all I knew. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There it was, that whosoever believeth, and I said, I believe. Amen? Amen. And I was born again. And it took a while for me to get assurance of my salvation. It took many years, many, many years, because my grandma still believed you had to see something, you had to fall out, you had to holler, you had to cry. You know, that's what she believed, you know, and I didn't do that, you know. So it took me years to hear, you know, the scripture that we now use over in Romans chapter 10. It took me years to hear that. And I prayed that in my car. I said, "Well, Lord, if I wasn't born again, I'm going to get born again today." But, you know, I was born again, you know. But I said, "I'm going to pray it again." And I prayed it in my car. And from that day to this, I have never again doubted my salvation. So it's important, you know, to talk with people when you pray with them and get them born again. You know, see where they are. Find out where they are and then help them. Amen? Amen. Amen. Y'all be blessed.